My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague and friend Gordon Chang at Gordon Jean Chang, who's traveling. He's in Japan. And we're turning our eyes towards North Korea, the rogue failed state with nuclear weapons. The news is that Sergei Lavrov, the foreign minister of the Russian Federation, has arrived in Pyongyang for conversations with his opposite numbers and perhaps the dictator. The news is also that the Belt and Road Forum in Beijing, gathering 130 nations, is centering all eyes on the relationship between Moscow and Beijing. The subordinate, the subset of that alliance, No Limits Alliance, is Tehran and Pyongyang. So the arrival of the foreign minister is a way of talking about all four capitals, which now, according to the foreign minister of Iran, think of themselves as Axis powers. Gordon and I welcome David Maxwell, the vice president for the Center for Asia-Pacific Strategy, a senior fellow at the Peace Foundation, at the same time, a man who watches North Korea for us very carefully. David, a very good evening to you. Lavrov to Pyongyang, not itself determinative, but over these last days, dealing with the second front breaking out in Eurasia, this is Gaza, news came in that there were North Korean weapons found in a pickup truck that had been abandoned by the killers of October 7th. Is that significant link between North Korea and bad actors in the Middle East? Good evening to you, David.
Good evening, John. Yes, it's long been known that North Korea's illicit activities around the world have included proliferation of weapons and training to conflict areas, particularly in the Middle East and Africa. And so it is highly likely that Hamas has weapons that have come from North Korea. Certainly the trade between North Korea and Iran is significant in all areas, from small arms to missiles. And some of the weapons that we've seen in the reports include, anti-tank missiles that were clearly made in North Korea, adapted from Russian versions. And so this is really an example of when you neglect North Korea's illicit activities, its proliferation continues around the world, and it helps to destabilize regions that are very important to all of us. And so we cannot neglect what North Korea does on a global scale.
One more report, David, for your comment. We're told that a large number of containers, possibly with munitions unknown, traveling from North Korea somewhere to somewhere in Russia. Is that significant to watch this train, David?
Well, certainly. I think this is really a follow-up to the Putin-Kim summit. We've read the reports that North Korea is willing to provide ammunition to Russia in return, perhaps for technology. And I think 1,000 containers certainly seems like this would be a large supply of ammunition, probably the 152 and 122 millimeter shells that Russia desperately needs to fight in Ukraine. So this seems like a logical follow-on to the Putin-Kim summit.
Gordon, you have a question for David.
David, what can the United States do to impose costs on Russia and North Korea for what appears to be the sale of munitions?
Short of interdicting, which obviously would bring about conflict, the physical interdiction, I think the only thing that you can really do is go after the money. There's got to be secondary sanctions on those financial institutions that are allowing such trade, if they can be accessed and dealt with. But, you know, continued international pressure. But it is unlikely that there's really anything that can be done, particularly the overland routes from North Korea to Russia and Ukraine. Perhaps in international waters, the Proliferation Security Initiative, which has never really been aggressively enforced, you know, could play a role. But I don't think there's any will among the international community to conduct any kind of interdiction operations under the Proliferation Security Initiative to thwart arms sales between North Korea and Russia.
So we have a report of a large number of containers moving to Russia, perhaps for the theater of Ukraine. We have a report of small arms and other weapons moving or found in the possession of Hamas in the Middle East. It appears that North Korea is being used as an arsenal of tyranny. Is that a role that it's capable of providing? Does it have an industrial base to continue to turn out these weapons?
Yes, it does, and it has been proliferating weapons for many, many years, for decades, really. It is just really is under the radar. Most people, you know, think of North Korea as confined to the geographic area of the peninsula and really do not track its global illicit activities. But this is nothing new. And it is a proliferator of, again, from small arms to missiles to training. This is what North Korea does to raise hard currency, as well as contribute to, you know, if this axis of resistance that Iran tagged all of them as part of, it creates dilemmas for the United States, the Western powers, the like-minded democracies, and the international community. So North Korea can play a real spoiler role in many areas because of its the nature and objectives and the strategy of the regime.
Gordon, you have a question.
Dave, do you think that the United States or other countries have actually tracked these weapons that are found in Hamas's hands? Or do you think that we don't know how they've gotten from North Korea to the Middle East?
I think that there's good likelihood that we track some of them. Of course, North Korea is really quite capable of deception and using deceptive measures to protect its activities. But I think that we have a good idea, and the U.S. and the international community have a pretty good idea. And we've seen from time to time countries such as Thailand and Panama and other countries, uncover the illicit smuggling of these weapons. But I think that it is... there's got to be the political will to take action. And with so many things that are happening around the world, I think North Korea gets left by the wayside to conduct its illicit activities, which, again, supports the survival of the regime and destabilizes regions that are in our interest.
David, over these last days, I've heard various reports about North Korea. It's very difficult to confirm any of them. However, the one that came to my attention was that it's not only an arsenal of tyranny producing weapons, but it repairs weapons as well. I remember many years ago there was a MiG found on a freighter that was moving through the Panama Canal that was probably bound from Cuba to North Korea to repair. Does it continue to be sort of the gasoline alley of old equipment for other tyrannies around the world?
Again, I can't confirm that, but it's logical in that, you know, it's defense industry and it's military is really the best functioning institution in North Korea. So I think that it is possible. I think it is a fair assessment to say that it will do that for certain countries where it's cost effective. And again, where North Korea can make hard currency for conducting those kinds of activities.
So what we're looking at here is everybody's using North Korea for its strengths, which is the arsenal that it can produce and the repair shops that it provides. And this is agreed by Beijing, by Moscow, by Tehran, by Havana. Have you ever seen any understanding, any conversation that send it to Pyongyang?
No, I've never seen any reports of that. And but again, I think it's, you know, the extensive business apparatus that North Korea has around the world, you know, it's likely done more on a business level, military to military, rather than a stated plan at the national level. But I've never seen anything from the national leaders. But it passes the logic test. If North Korea has the capability, wants to make money, and the services are necessary, it seems to add up that this is something that is in the common interest of all.
David Maxwell is the vice president for the Center for Asia Pacific Strategy. He continues at the Peace Foundation. Gordon G. Chang traveling. He's in Japan. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer. First 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy. Thanks to Gold Belly. Gold Belly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Gold Belly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.